This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of fibrous dysplasia from the pathology section on orthobullets.com. Fibrous dysplasia is a developmental abnormality caused by the failure of the production of normal lamellar bone, and so areas of the skeleton remain poorly mineralized trabeculae in this condition. As far as the epidemiology, females are affected more than males. As far as the age bracket, it is found in any and all ages. However, the onset for 75% of patients is less than 30 years of age. With respect to location of fibrous dysplasia, any bone can be involved. The proximal femur is the most common site, followed by the ribs, the maxilla, and the tibia. Fibrous dysplasia is associated with the GNAS mutation, which is basically an activating mutation of a GS alpha protein on chromosome 20q13, which affects the cyclic AMP signaling pathway, leading to increased production of cyclic AMP. In addition, high production of FGF23 in fibrous dysplasia may lead to hypophosphatemia. Associated orthopedic conditions with fibrous dysplasia includes McCune-Albright syndrome, which is a condition defined by the presence of skin abnormalities like cafe au lait spots in a coast of Maine pattern, endocrine abnormalities like precocious puberty, renal phosphate wasting due to FGF23, otherwise known as oncogenic osteomalacia, and unilateral polyostotic fibrous dysplasia, which is why you should obtain AP spine radiographs in these patients to look for scoliosis. Mazabrod syndrome is another associated orthopedic condition characterized by polyostotic fibrous dysplasia and soft tissue intramuscular myxomas. Osteofibrous dysplasia is a rare form of fibrous dysplasia that primarily affects the tibia and is confined to the cortices. Non-orthopedic manifestations of fibrous dysplasia include severe cranial deformities with blindness. As far as the prognosis for fibrous dysplasia, there is a 1% risk of malignant transformation to osteosarcoma, fibrosarcoma, or malignant fibrous histiocytoma, all of which have a poor prognosis. As far as the presentation of fibrous dysplasia, patients are usually asymptomatic, and so it is usually discovered as an incidental finding. However, when patients are symptomatic, they may have swelling or deformity, and they may also have pain from stress fractures. And keep in mind that bone lesions may be monoostotic in 80% of patients or polyostotic in 20% of patients. Physical exam in these patients should include inspection, which may reveal swelling around the lesion, and it may also reveal cafe au lait spots, which are larger and with more irregular borders than neurofibromatosis. However, keep in mind that these may or may not be present with fibrous dysplasia alone, but by definition, cafe au lait spots are present with McCune-Albright syndrome. With respect to imaging, hip/pelvis radiographs should be obtained, which may reveal centric lytic lesions in the medullary canal, whether in the diaphysis or metaphysis. Films may have cortical thinning with an expansile lesion. They may also show highly lytic lesions or a ground glass appearance. A, quote, punched-out lesion with a well-defined margin of sclerotic bone is common. You may also see a modest expansion of bone and or a shepherd's crook deformity. The buzzwords to remember here are ground glass appearance and shepherd's crook deformity. An AP spine radiograph in fibrous dysplasia may show vertebral collapse and or kyphoscoliosis. Bone scans in these patients are usually warm. Gross specimens of fibrous dysplasia appear as yellow, white, gritty tissue. Histology has the characteristic look of, quote, alphabet soup or Chinese letters. Other features include trabeculae of osteoid and bone in fibrous stroma with metaplastic cartilage or areas of cyst degeneration. Mitotic figures are common, and fibroblast proliferation surrounding islands of woven bone where woven bone lacks osteoblastic rimming. However, keep in mind that osteofibrous dysplasia has osteoblastic rimming. So the buzzwords for the histology of fibrous dysplasia are alphabet soup or Chinese letters, fibroblast proliferation, woven bone, and lacking osteoblastic rimming. Treatment of fibrous dysplasia can be operative or non-operative. Non-operative management can just be observation in asymptomatic patients. However, bisphosphonate therapy is indicated in symptomatic polyostotic fibrous dysplasia, and this can be effective in decreasing pain and reducing bone turnover. Operative intervention can be internal fixation and bone grafting or osteotomies. Internal fixation and bone grafting is indicated in symptomatic lesions. impending/actual fractures through lesions in areas of high stress like the femoral neck, and other indications include severe deformity and neurologic compromise in the spine. As far as the technique, never use autogenous cancellous bone, as the transplanted bone will quickly turn into fibrous dysplastic woven bone. Use cortical or cancellous allografts, and remember that an intramedullary device is more effective than a plate in the lower extremity. Osteotomies are indicated for Coxa-Vara deformity, in which case you will perform an intertrochanteric osteotomy. That's all for this review about fibrous dysplasia. Hopefully that was helpful. Look out for questions related to this topic on this weekend's question session, and hopefully this episode will have prepared you for that review. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on iTunes. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.